Okay, well, let's take our Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. For those of you who haven't been involved with the fellowship, we are doing a series of teachings on manifesting God's power. And we've been going over the nine manifestations of the Spirit. And we did the first section, speak in tongues, interpretation tongues, and prophecy, which are the utterance manifestations. And now we're doing the revelation manifestations. We've been concentrating so far on word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And those two manifestations is where God gives us information, specific information, and what to do with that information. And we looked at how information is very important. At times that information is so important, it's a matter of life or death. If we heed to that information, we stay alive. And we saw last fellowship that it's often a means where God can guide us or direct us, where we need to know how to do something or what to do or maybe what not to do. We need direction. And the written word isn't specific as far as your situation. It's where God is able by revelation to give you information as to guide you in something. Well, today I'd like to look at the revelation manifestations in light of God being our Father, and He loves us, and because He loves us, He at times protects us by giving us information to stay healthy or stay alive, stay in good shape. And so we're going to start in 1 John. I'm probably the only one not there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not." We are God's sons. He is our Father. That makes Him our Father. But the point here is that God, as our Father, loves us. He just absolutely loves us. And a number of us in here are fathers. And we endeavor to imitate God in the sense that we love our children. And God loves His kids. And it's a natural thing. You've got to be a little screwy to, as a father, not love your children. Well, in that, you know, God's, we heard it in manifestations today, that God is with us, He's close to us. You know, it's not like we wander off and He doesn't know where we are. He knows everything about us, and He loves us. And there are times where we may find ourselves in harm's way, and He does not remain silent at those times and say, "Poor guy, he's going to get killed." He doesn't. He says something and gives that individual information so that they can stay alive. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. This is the scripture that proves what God's name is. Anybody know what God's actual name is? It's in the scriptures, and it's Ephesians 2:4. And there's somebody in our fellowship that was named after God. Ephesians chapter 2. Did I say verse
4? No.
Verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich." Okay? That's His name. So, anyway. Just a little humor. It was like, all right. "But God, who is rich in mercy." Why? "For His great love wherewith He loved us." There are many scriptures in God's word that show His love for us. He does love us. He absolutely loves us. And in that love, there is that yearning desire to protect. And we're going to see that also. Let's go to Psalm 91. Because He loves us so much, He wants to protect us. I mean, look at the Vargas' little three-legged dog, now four-legged. You know, it's just a dog. But look at the love that they had for that dog. You know, they had an awake for it. Couldn't call it awake because he was awake. So it's awake. But, you know, an endeavor to try to help the dog out as best as possible. So, I think that's cool. What about an actual child of yours. You have that desire to protect. And how much more God Almighty, who loves us, he wants to protect us. Absolutely. He doesn't leave us to our own devices without any help. So Psalm 91, let's just look at this one. Just showing what God did for his people, the children of Israel, and what he does. Verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The secret place of the Most High. Referring to, you know, into God's heart, into God's word. Literally, at times, into the tabernacle or into the temples. The people who go towards God Almighty. Those people abide under the shadow of the Almighty. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Shield and buckler, they are two military terms. One's a defense thing, and the other one has an offense, which protects you. If somebody's coming at you to kill you, and you can jab them with something that kills them instead, that's a protection. But he is our shield and protector. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." Boy, remember the black plagues in the several hundred years ago in Europe, you know, where people just died in droves from disease. And here's a promise. If you're a believer and you're walking with God and you're believing the promise of God, you're going to stay alive. There may be a lot of people dying around you, but you're going to stay alive. Verse 8, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Boy, what a promise. "They shall hear thee, bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet." But look how God's protection is there. And it's because he loves his people. He wants to help his people. He really loves his people, and he wants to protect. It's a natural instinct. Let's go to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. God is always protecting us as his beloved children. Psalm 121, verse 1. This verse, first verse, is actually a question. It doesn't say, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." It's, "From whence shall I lift up my eyes unto the hills? From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Now that's really nice to know when you have a watchman, like there were watchmen of cities back then. And in our military, there are people who guard, you know, everybody else is sleeping, and there are people who are up guarding. It's nice to know that those guys are awake, doing what they're supposed to be doing while you can sleep. You know, if somebody stands guard, you don't want to fall asleep. Here, the promise is that God doesn't fall asleep on the job. He's watching over us. He never has us out of his sight because he loves us. Verse 6, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Boy, What a remarkable promise.
Great truth.
And it's because he loves us. He's got his eye on us day and night. He doesn't sleep. It's not like, oh, if I had only been at the job at the time, I would have taken care of you. He never leaves, you know? So it's like the veterinarian said, hey, you know, you don't want to leave your dog here tonight because there's not going to be anybody here to watch him. So take him home. So, but God is different. He's everywhere present, and he knows what's going on. Let's go to 1 Peter, back at the end of your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 5. And here is a truth that we should be aware of. God makes it very plain throughout his word that there is a devil, and that devil hates God. And that devil hates his children, you know, God's children. Because God can't be hurt and damaged, the devil can't shoot an arrow through him and kill him. But he can try to hurt his kids. So to get to God, he tries to hurt his kids, which we fall into that category. So God's word makes very clear and makes it known that there is a devil and he doesn't like God's people. Chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I mean, and that's the truth. You know, there is a devil. The devil runs this world right now. He's in charge, and he's always after trying to hurt God's people. So God protects his people. And one way he does it is by the written word of God. We're going to see that. If you go to Proverbs chapter 2, we get a lot of our protection by simply obeying what God's word says to do. Or what not to do. Proverbs chapter 2. Our biggest protection is by what God has made known to us in his written word. And these are warnings that God gives. We have warnings on the highways and roads all the time. Warning, road ends, slippery, bridge is slippery when cold. You know, all kinds of warnings out there. And sometimes there's flashing lights because it's really like on Route 33. There's one spot by Earl Base. There's this big yellow arrow because the road turns. And I guess enough people have gone straight. They've got this giant blinking yellow arrow that's like, go that way. It's a warning, you know. So, chapter 2, verse 10 says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and this context-wise is the wisdom from God, wisdom entereth thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. The wisdom of God's word, the knowledge of God's word, when it becomes part of us and we're happy to think about it and apply it, it keeps us out of harm's way. Just knowledge of God's word helps us. But sometimes we need some more specific things, some more specific information. And that's where the revelation manifestations, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, really can help us to stay healthy and alive. So we're going to look at a couple records. The first one's in the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to see how by giving information, he was able to keep people alive. And this one deals with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to get a running start. Did I say 22?
No.
Okay. Chapter 2, verse 1. This is about the birth of Jesus Christ, the wise men that came to visit Jesus Christ, and what ensued shortly after. So it says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Yeah, right. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child where Mary's mother with Mary's mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, does that mean that they were all sleeping and they all dreamed the same dream? No, the dream is a vision. And being warned of God in a vision that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. How about that? So here are men who were not of the tribe of Israel that God warned. Can God give other people information? Sure he can. He loves people. So these people had come to see his son, and he is taking care of them. Amazing, huh? Verse 13, And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. He didn't waste any time. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. So God was able to rescue his son and Joseph and Mary out of the snare of the devil by giving Joseph some information. Get out of there. They're after you. And he told them where to go, and they were safe. Amazing. Revelation. Now, that's not written in the Old Testament where you can say, okay, well, the day after, when the wise men come to see me or see my son, we're going to have to flee that night. It's not in there. But God can give revelation at times like that. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. We'll take a look at Luke chapter 22. Because God loves us so much, he wants to protect us, and in doing so, at times he gives us information by way of word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He can also give it by way of an angel. There's lots of ways he can do it, but one way he can do it, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Chapter 22, verse 31, this is Jesus Christ speaking to Peter. He mentions him as Simon here. It says, verse 31, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Sounds like 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know, he's around, roaring, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith or thy believing fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This intercessory prayer for Peter by Jesus Christ kept Peter from being beat up by the adversary. Perhaps God showed Jesus Christ, hey, Peter's being attacked. Pray for him. Can God show us at times that somebody's having a hard time or difficult time? Sure. That's the wonderfulness of the family standing together. We're praying for one another, and God can show us something and say, how many times did Moses pray for and intercede for the children of Israel? You know, he kept those guys, he kept greasing the wheels for those guys. intercessory prayer. And part of that is protection. And God can surely show us times where we need to pray for somebody or whatever the case may be. It's all part of it. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings is right after Samuel, before Chronicles. 1 Kings chapter 17. This is a record where Elijah the prophet was given information from God to tell Ahab the king, hey, it's not going to rain, it's not going to do until I say so. That's pretty powerful, to have the authority to say, it's not raining, it's not even going to do until I say so. That's very powerful. Chapter 17, verse 1 says, and Elijah the Tishbite who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now he's saying this by revelation, not just kind of reading the Farmer's Almanac and saying, I'm going to look cool. He had got revelation, and that's what he spoke. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Judah. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now he could say, wait a minute, I got to be pretty powerful. If it's not raining and dewing until I say so, why do I have to hide? I mean, aren't you God Almighty? Can't you protect me out here? He could have said that. And he would have went, he was a wise fellow. Look at verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank by the brook. Now, if this was me, I'd have to make a request. God, can we do like a middle dinner too? Like a three-time feeding? It would just be a request, Two might not do it for me. But how wise he was. Just because God is almighty doesn't mean he controls everything. Remember, he gave everybody free will. Man can choose to do what he wants. And if he is bent on being evil, could God just stop him just because he wants to stop him? He has to work with what he set up. And Ahab was an evil man, and Ahab was going to go after Elijah. God knew this, and God said, Elijah, go hide. I'll tell you where to go. I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. Everything will be fine. So he did. And he stayed there for several years, or stayed there quite a while until the brook dried up, and then he sent him to a widow's woman's house. He stayed there for a long time. It's a total of about 3.5 years he was in hiding. Then one day God says, okay, go show yourself now to Ahab and tell him rain's coming. Chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab went to go look for some animals, and he sent this guy Obadiah with him, and they decided to go two different directions to look for animals and stuff. And Obadiah ends up bumping into Elijah. And in verse 7, It says, and as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered and said, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation. This is how far Ahab went to try to get Elijah. There is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. It wasn't good enough that they said, we haven't seen Elijah here in this nation. They had to put on paper and verify, no, he isn't here, and we're not hiding him. And I mean, it wasn't just like, I don't think he's here. He verified it with every nation. That's how bad Ahab wanted Elijah. So that's why Obadiah says, hey, what, do you want to get me killed? I'm going to go back and say, you're here? I'm going to have my head. Verse 11, and now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall gather thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, feared the Lord from my youth. So this is a tacky situation for Obadiah, but Elijah assures him, look, no, God told me to do this. You're going to be safe. Just go tell Ahab I'm coming. So, and he does. But just because God is almighty doesn't mean that, you can do what the heck you want to do. There are evil people. There's a devil out there roaring around. And if they are bent on doing something evil, God will circumvent the situation so that you're still safe. It's no disgrace that you got to go in hiding. Kept him alive. Kept him fed. He protected him. And when the time was right, he sent him out. Let's go to John chapter 11. This even happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is amazing. I mean, if anybody was powerful, if anybody should have just been able to do what he wants, I'm going to just do what I want, it should have been the Lord Jesus Christ. Many years ago in New Jersey, there was a believer he was a wonderful believer that really served God's people and taught God's people, just a great guy. And it was at nighttime, and he was in a city, and there was somebody getting robbed. A woman was getting robbed in a parking lot. And his natural reaction was to help, and he did. He went over to help the lady from this guy, and the guy had a gun and shot him and killed him. Just boom, killed him. And it was a blow to a lot of the believers. How could this happen? How could a guy die? God's supposed to protect. And really, what we realized is that did he ask God? Should he help? This guy could be possessed. Should he help? Should I go in there and help? And sometimes the answer is going to be no, don't. Other times the answer is going to be yes. But did he ask? He apparently didn't ask. And he put himself in harm's way. God can't just stop a guy from doing what he's doing. If he's possessed, he's possessed. But God can circumvent you around the circumstances so it doesn't affect you. The wisdom of God's word will say, don't walk into evil areas. If there's something wrong, don't be stupid and go in. But if you're in there and unknowingly, he can protect. So even Jesus Christ was in this situation. Chapter 11, verse 53. This is right after he raised Lazarus from the dead, that record. And a lot of Jews believed in the Lord Jesus Christ because of this miracle of healing. And this really got the religious leaders upset to the point that they wanted to kill him. Verse 53 says, then from that day forth, they, referring to the religious leaders, took counsel together for to put him, referring to Jesus, to death. Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. If anybody should have been powerful enough to just say, God's almighty, he can protect me, whatever I do, that's fine. It would have been him. But God said to him, hey, they're after you. These guys are bent on killing you. Don't walk openly. And he obeyed and went into this country area. And then, verse 55, and the Jews' Passover was nigh or close at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. Hey, what do you think? Do you think he's going to come out to the feast? You think he's going to show? What do you think? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show him that they might take him. And then what does happen is that God says, go up. Jesus went up to the Passover, went up to Jerusalem. And that's when they laid down all those branches, the palm leaves and stuff, and he made his entrance into Jerusalem on the colt's ass, or the ass, or whatever he was, colt something, on an animal. And they had laid all those palm trees. And when he made an entrance, and he knew it was safe and it was right, he made an entrance. Unbelievable. Days before that, he was in hiding. Now he's, you know, it's by word of knowledge, word of wisdom. God showed him when it was safe and where to go. But it is amazing how God does just wonderfully protect us. One small record, or not record, a little incident happened to me probably about 10 years ago. I had this house I rented. It was in the woods. It was many acres that were around this house, and Rube remembers this house probably. We called it Tobacco Road. Do you remember that? Well, we had a guy that lived there. It was this time of year. It was right when it gets dark, early. And the guy called up that day and said, my water heater's not working. So I went there at the end of the day. It was really dark, and we're in the woods, and it's dark. And I said, you know, I knocked on the door and I told him I was there to fix the water heater. And he goes, okay. So I knew where it was. It was a entrance in the basement from the outside. You had an outside entrance. You climbed down. It was really old, really, really, really old house. And I start to go in the backyard and I notice a dog. And so, you know, I didn't want to just walk by the dog. I didn't want to get bit. And then I noticed there's another dog. So I went back to the house and I said, Can you tie up your dog, whatever? So he went to do that, and I go to the back and look into the basement, and there's like 25, 30 dogs in the basement. There's hay all over the place, and I said, what's going on? Because I had to go down there to do the water here. I said, what's with all the dogs? He goes, well, they're all stray dogs, and I feel bad for them, and I'm taking care of them temporarily. I said, oh. So I wanted to help the guy, because I wanted to get his hot water going. I just asked God, I said, is this safe to go down there? And he said, go ahead. I went down there, and it was like the Daniel and the lion's den. They all just walked around quietly or laid there, and they didn't make a peep. They didn't try to jump up on me. And I did my work. I was down there for around 15, 30 minutes. And I walked out. It was kind of like, get out as fast as I could. And then I got my truck and left. But those dogs were just quiet. I even muzzled them or something. They just were all quiet. But I asked. I said, should I go down? Is it safe? Now, if he said no, I would have ran to the truck. But that's, you know, there's no record in the Word that I could go on and say, oh, well, you know, I'll muzzle these dogs. So that's the way it worked out. But God does protect us. We just ask. And sometimes we don't have to ask. Sometimes he just knocks on our door. We just have to be ready to, in a position to listen, where we got a receiver on, so to speak. So it's wonderful. Next week, we're going to go over, we're going to start looking at how we actually receive revelation. How does God give information? What are the keys to receiving that information? We know he does give it. How does he give it?
And so that's what we're going to start to cover next week. So, God Almighty, thanks for your goodness, your kindness, and your watchful care over our lives. And whether it be by your written word or by the manifestations, you are able to take care of us and protect us day by day by day. And we're so grateful for that. Thanks for the abundant sharing, for the monies being used to move your word and help people to understand the great truths of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.